Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
How much are you spending on communion celebrations? Well, communions are a lovely occasion, most of us will agree, I'm sure, but they can be costly between food, drink, the outfit. Has the day become more about money than religion? Well, first up, Michael Houghton, features editor with the Irish Independent, is on the line. Michael, I have to tell you, I very much enjoyed your article.
Thank you, and it's very much tongue-in-cheek, but I was just trying to highlight some of the costs that are associated with communions. You know, it can definitely get out of hand.
It absolutely can. And you know what? You hit on some very important points and you made me laugh in the process as well. You grew up in New Zealand. So is this completely wild to you?
It has. And this is my third communion. So you'd think I would have learned by now what goes on, but I really clearly haven't, you know. And it was one of those. It all started actually when my wife said to me, she said, "You've got to pull the weeds out of the garden." And I kind of turned to her and said, "What? We're not having the communion at our house. We're going out. We're outsourcing, so to speak. We're going out to a restaurant. Why do we need to pull the weeds?" And she said, "Well, sure, your sister's coming over." And I actually talked to a lot of Irish people, including my own GP, and everybody sided with my wife. So I realized really quickly, I talked to another person who said for their communion, they got their house painted. Right. So this seems to be this thing. It's almost as if the Queen was visiting, you know, which I guess is bad to say in an Irish context already. But in terms of how much effort is put into for the day, you know. So in the end, I did pull out the weeds. I lost a Sunday to the job, power washing and everything else. And again, like that, just for my sister to visit and probably not even notice.
Of course, I know. Listen, and maybe that's why I laugh, because it's so close to home, because something happening at your house. And as you say, the event wasn't even at your house. It's just someone's coming to visit as part of the proceedings, which means everything needs to be suddenly perfect.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And then you've got everything else at boots, including the bouncy castle and all of those sort of things. And in fairness, my wife's defense was something along the lines of, "Well, it'd be grateful you don't have daughters. You know, we're three sons," because the cost itself, I would say we're going to be spending close to 2,000 euros on the day. I had to get a new suit as part of the occasion, apparently, which was, I hadn't had a new suit in 15 years. So I had to go and spend 300 euros on the new suit. And I joked as I left, "Look, I'll see you back in 15 years. You better hold me to the same price as what you paid for me today." So, you know, it does. It's a lot of stress that's put on families, really. And at a time when there's a cost of living crisis, there's all of this pressure. And I allude in the article, I don't know if it's a Celtic Tiger legacy or if it's just constantly we're trying to one-up it with everybody else within the class and what we did last time and so on. But there really is a lot of pressure when it comes to getting ready for a communion.
Yeah, and it's absolutely spiraled and the expectations are suddenly extremely high. And I really related to the article because I grew up in Ireland, like your wife did, born and raised in Ireland, and we would have, you know, gone through the communion process, but it seemed very humble and kind of beautifully simple in a way compared to all of the expectations that are around now. Would that be fair?
I think so. In talking to my wife, you know, hers was very simple. It was, in many cases, it would be a shared dress or a borrowed dress. It wasn't buying a new one. She would be driving. She'd be driven around then in the afternoon. Her family would go out to dinner, just the family. So that was a big occasion just to go out as a family for dinner, just the four of them. And then they would then drive around and visit people and get a few pound and a card. So very, very simple day compared to what we have now, which is very much we're inviting the people. And so suddenly we're responsible for feeding 20 plus people, either in our houses or out at a restaurant, you know. And as my son, my youngest son is having his communion, is all excited, thinking about the money that he's going to be getting in a card. And I'm sitting there meanwhile going, "Well, yeah, but have you worked out how much the stay is costing us compared to what you're going to be taking home in the card?" Which I know is a terrible thing to be looking at. But when he's all excited about this money and I'm going, "Good God, what is this costing us?" It's very difficult to kind of put it in perspective, I guess, for me as an outsider as well, coming in and trying to get on with this lovely tradition that is the communion.
Yeah, and as you say, it's a lovely event and you don't want to be kind of labelled as a communion Grinch, so to speak.
Exactly.
It is a lovely family occasion.
Exactly. And obviously the religious aspect is extremely important and fundamentally that's what it's all about. And I think along the way, in a way that's been forgotten, that this is ultimately a religious thing that has become even the child is going, "I can't wait for the money." And it's like, well, hang on, it should be the religious occasion that is actually the big thing that you're looking forward to. And I think along the way, those lines have been blurred.
Yeah, no, the money is a huge focus. And I think we'd be codding ourselves if we said it wasn't. Do you know what I mean? That's what they talk about, the children, without a doubt. What are you going to buy with the communion money? And listen, it's human reaction, I suppose, isn't it? It's like a big bonus day. Michael, stay on the line. I want to bring joining in features editor at the Irish Daily Mail, Lisa Brady. Lisa, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Anna. How are you?
Do you relate to any of this?
Oh, my gosh. I'm just jealous of Michael and his three sons, you know. So I have two daughters and I've been through the Holy Communion meal twice. And I'm pretty broke after it, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, well, I've been through the communion three times now because all three of my boys have had the communion. But I haven't gone through the girl. So tell me the girl experience and the expectations there.
Mm-mm. Well, you know, it's funny because I think there's been so much made of the extremes that people will go to for communion prep, you know. And I'm talking about, we've all heard the stories of spray tans and princess manicures and, you know, the various, you know, bespoke dresses. And this all happens, by the way. But I think from my perspective, my girls were actually very undemanding. And it was me that actually, I suppose, felt all this pressure to do more.
So are you saying you got caught up with kind of keeping up with the Joneses?
I think, well, no, listen, now, when I say I did.
Yeah. And no, you're being very honest.
Very last minute. And I think it was because I made the fatal error of kind of just scrolling and looking to see what's out there. Oh, yeah, wow, we've got, you know, balloon walls and we have tiered cakes and we have, like, I'm like, all the merch. And I'm looking here going, I haven't done half enough. And now I feel that my, you know, I'm not doing, you know, the day properly. I'm not giving my child the big fancy Irish communion.
Yeah, I completely get it. And I think I was probably the same in the last few days before every one of the communions. You go, have
isn't
I done
that,
enough? Because you hear other families.
The last few days.
It is the last few days, and there's a sense of panic that creeps in, and you start to think, am I a terrible parent now because I didn't book the bouncy castle or I didn't book caterers or, you know, I'm trying
the
to keep it simple.
Castle. What is it about the bouncy castle being rolled out for every flipping occasion these days, you know?
Yeah.
And like, and that's the thing. And I think it's I love a bit of mum guilt anyway, you know, like hands up, who doesn't?
Of course.
But, and also, and I think maybe this is something that isn't really spoken about a lot. Separated and divorced parents, I think there's another pressure there, you know, in a different way, because it almost seems, you know, like when you have the big house party and there is, you know, extended family and you're feeding, you know, the masses, there's that sense of occasion and there's a lot of pressure in that. But there's another pressure when you kind of feel, is that the right thing to do, you know, given the situation? And I just know from speaking to different, you know, to other single parents, it's quite a challenging one to navigate. I'm quite lucky in that I have a very amicable relationship with my ex-husband, you know. But it's one that's not really spoken about when it comes to these big family occasions and how to navigate
that. It's a great point, Lisa. It really is, because how do you please everyone? How do you get the balance right? How do you include everyone? Let me just go to some of the texts. My confirmation was in 1981. We went to the cinema and McDonald's that day. I was very happy with the day. Someone else, recommunions. Why don't hotels offer a sit-down dinner with immediate family, mam, dad, sibling, maybe nana and granddad, little disco for kids afterwards, and let them go home and have the cousins and the aunties and uncles at home for a bit of cake. I remember my communion day and dancing to the birdie dance with my friends. And someone else says, my daughters are in their 30s. We made a big deal of it back then and have family over, but there was none of this bouncy castle stuff. And that would be my experience. You know, we would have went out to a nice restaurant, but just family, and then visited some relations. And it felt like a really special day. Let me bring in Joey. Joey, as a father, you've experienced a communion at your house. How has it played out?
Well, I have kind of had a summary of all and sundry there you spoke about. I probably play a little bit into, and I don't want to play into the stereotypical hubby there. And I heard Michael talking about being sent out to weed the garden that wasn't even going to be seen. And the sister who was coming over, who was probably there for a cup of tea earlier in the week when the weeds are up and it didn't matter then. But all of a sudden on the Saturday of the communion, I was left tasked with the bouncy castle. And yeah, God, the bouncy castle. And having a few contacts, I was like, oh yeah, sure, I'll get a bouncy castle, no problem. And, you know, and a month or two out. There was a little nudge. Did you get the bouncy castle? Yeah, yeah, have it in hand, have it in hand. A week before then, the call was, you know, you have the bouncy castle all sorted. And I asked the person who I knew, who I thought it had reserved, and lo and behold, they had forgotten it as well, and I had forgotten it. So I actually ended up on our last communion with two bouncy castles out on the green in front of my house, because I made so many panicked phone calls, I pulled so many favours, that all of a sudden I landed with two, and I didn't want to cancel one for fear of losing one. So I had two bouncy castles, because my typical male procrastinating brain left until the very last minute, and my lovely wife had done everything. I mean, the silk gloves, the lovely dress, she had used her own dress and had it remade, which I thought was lovely.
Yeah.
But look, it is extraordinary. And I think probably in serious context, the keeping up with the Joneses, the social media, Instagrammable, TikTokable communions are just, the internet is awash with it. And we are all victims of, you know, playing up to the other person and seeing, can we, I know you don't want to say you want to outdo someone, but the kids noticed, and that's the problem. And the person who went to the cinema and McDonald's in the 80s, that is now, the kids are in school and they're being told, yeah, well, I'm having the balloon arch and I'm having an event in such and such a hotel and I'm having dinner for everybody. And, you know, it is incredibly indicative of the society we live in now, I think.
It is. And you ended up doubling down on the bouncy castle, which I'm sure your neighbours were delighted about, Joey. But we are in a cost of living crisis, and yet we're getting caught up in the madness of this spending. And as Michael points out in the article, which is a very, very valid point, his son hasn't quite realised that the 500 quid that he makes on the communion is a fraction of the price that Michael and his wife are about to spend on, you know, the festivities around it.
Oh, there has to be a mom and dad tax that comes out of it first before it's released. I mean, look, everything, the income is taxable, isn't it? 50% the accountant always tells you to take out. So look, I think moms and dads at this stage, because look, in seriousness, again, it is so incredibly expensive. And, you know, the kids are like, I get it all in gross and I just get handed it straight away. And it's like, no, it doesn't really work like that. There's a few little things to be ticked off first before you get your trip to Smith's and to buy whatever you like. Or maybe they don't get the count at all right there and then, and they mightn't know the full amount. Is probably a wise decision. But look, I think I remember breaking the 100 quid mark when I got my confirmation, and like, you know, it was incredible back then. 100 quid wouldn't even hit the sides nowadays.
I know, and the expectations again have changed, and the price of everything, of course, has changed. Michael, let me bring you back in here, because it is a lot of money for what are the 7-8-year-olds to suddenly have in their hands, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Now, this is quite an interesting question you've asked, Ander, because you see, our guys in the past have been wise investors, and our first guy actually invested his money, and it's now worth at least double of what it was back in 2020. So I've actually managed to get my guys to invest it rather than spend
invested
it.
Invested in what now?
Just index funds, things like that. Just basic, you know, your basic, what you'd invest in your pension normally, but just outside of a pension, obviously.
Your basic 8-year-old investment.
Correct. Yeah. So I saw it as a great opportunity to teach him about investing.
It's a brilliant opportunity.
At the time, he loved Nintendo. He was obsessed with Nintendo. So we bought a little bit of Nintendo share for him. And he got to learn about the fact that he was now an owner of a company and was getting some of their profit each and every time they paid dividends and so on. But other than that, even if it's in a bank earning interest, at least it's doing something. But we saw the opportunity to get him interested, and we taught him about the index funds and all of those sort of things.
Great
and
lessons.
It was a great opportunity. Yeah, it was. And like, even if it had fallen in value, that's still a lesson to say, look, this is a long-term investment. It's going to do well over time. Just be patient. As it was, it's done well. My second guy did that. And my third guy now is already aware that some of it will be for spending, and some of it will be as part of his investment to learn about long-term investing. So that was very much how we tackled it from that side, which has been great to see it grow over time, you know, which has been...
It's very interesting. And I'm sure it's food for thought for lots of parents who have children who've made a few bob over the last few weeks. Some other texts coming in. It's very nice to hear Michael say it's the religious aspect that's the important bit. I wonder how many Irish parents would even think about the religious aspect. Very few, I'd say. Yesterday, 9 out of 24 children attended Mass. What does that say about our priorities around the occasion? Certainly, I think it is about the pomp and the ceremony and the glamour and the glitz over the religious message, from certainly my experiences, and I'm just being honest about that. I've several nieces and nephews, and so does my partner. We're expected to attend all of these and then shell out 50 quid in a card each time. There's pressure on the extended family to show up and go along with this. We don't have much interest in going, especially as it involves a day off work quite often. It is a massive fuss for nothing. And then another text, Anna, the communion is about the sacrament. How many families will be at Mass in the weeks after? It's as expensive and stressful as you decide to make it. I made my daughter's dress and cake. The family all helped with the food and we gathered at our small house. We had a bouncy castle. We didn't scrimp, but we didn't go over the top. That's a very balanced text there. Lisa, any thoughts on any of those texts?
The last one kind of resonates with me most. I have to say, that's the point, I think, with all of this. I don't think the kids notice as much what the other children are. And maybe that was just my experience with my girls. But they didn't complain. They didn't ask for a balloon arch. They didn't want a bouncy castle. You know, they were quite kind of, you know, like... they just wanted a nice day. They really wanted the dress. The dress was important to them. But as I said in my own piece, I bought them in. It brought them to Monsoon, and they had great time trying on dresses, and they had great fun. You know,
because we hear Lisa, I don't have this, but there's fittings for the dresses. They say yes to the dress.
Gosh.
You didn't do any of that.
No, and you see. Again, this is all from an adult lens, you know?
Yeah.
I think if you actually sat down and asked kids, what do you want on the day? They're going to say, a couple of things. Say fun. If they're girls, chances are, not being gender specific, but like they're going to want the dress. They're going to want the frills in that respect. And they're going to want money.
Yeah.
They want money or a Smith's voucher or whatever it might be. But like it was very wholesome, really. Like my whole experience was quite wholesome, I think.
Yeah.
And you know, and it, maybe it was. And we went to a restaurant. You know, we had like pizza, and there was the immediate family. You know, grandparents and mum and dad were there. And you know, but it was a very kind of inward. If you were comparing it to an Insta or TikTok communion, very very pared back. But the kids were thrilled. Like the girls were really
happy. The kids are thrilled, I always think, when they're together with friends or cousins and they're having the crack. That's what you remember, isn't it? For years afterwards.
And you know, I do have a kind of, in my memory, in my mind's eye, I can still see, Lana Rose, my eldest daughter, running down, an aisle of Smith's in the flipping communion dress afterwards.
Couldn't wait to spend the money.
Voucher, and that's what she got out of it.
Of course,
like she loves that. But that's what I mean. I think it is the mistake we make as parents is we fall into the comparison trap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joey, any lessons, 100%. Any takeaways from this before we finish up? Is Joey still with us?
I'm still with you. Sorry, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Joey.
I'm still with you. Yeah, no, I'm learning. I've one more communion to get out the gate now in a couple of years' time, my now 5-year-old. So a few lessons to learn there.
Yes, I think you're right. And the investment is a new one on me, having the child invest their money.
Well, here, I listened to that and I thought, isn't that such an amazing thing to do? And God, you might just jot down my phone number there and just pass it on. You might teach me how to invest as well.
Yeah. Michael, there's a whole other piece on the investment for children. And we could all probably learn a little bit from it as well. Thank you to you all for joining us on that subject. We'll try and avoid the mini weddings in future, I think. That was all based on Michael Houghton's feature in the Irish Independent around communions and getting caught up in the madness and the spending of it all. Thank you to Lisa Brady as well, features editor with the Irish Daily Mail, and Joey Donnelly for contributing as well.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.